The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Tuesday, 420 to us all. And Dominic, we're a little happier. We got a fine guest joining us right now. We welcome back Dr. Dan Brennan. He is a pediatrician from Santa Barbara, California. Dan, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And Dan, should disclose, we met you through Lutema.com, one of our fine sponsors. They manufacture masks, and it's the only mask I wear. But Dan, where do you think we stand in regards to this pandemic? You know, I'm certainly optimistic when I hear the vaccination news, but then I hear about all these COVID variants coming. Doctor, where do you think we stand?
Yeah, I think this is a great question. I think right now it probably depends on, you know, what part of the country you're living in. I think some areas are getting hit a little bit harder than others. But I think the really good safety net message out there is that all the vaccines we have seem to cover these variants well. And I think we're really just in a race of being able to get as many people vaccinated with their full doses before they come in contact with variants.
Dan,
somebody else. So,
Doctor, with the pause in the Johnson & Johnson, I assume most of the people listening are probably in line or have already received one or two doses of either the Moderna or, I forget the other one, the one that
Pfizer.
I got. Yeah, the Pfizer. But Dan, during the course of that process, there's still sort of a point of vulnerability. Sir, as a physician, what would you recommend to people? You know, you're not bulletproof just because you got one shot. Where do you think people stand and when can they start sneaking back out in public?
So I recommend, you know, really stick out that 2 weeks after you get your second dose, if you got the Pfizer or Moderna. And unfortunately, I've had some friends and some patients who have, you know, had one dose and were just about to get the second dose and they were exposed and they still got sick. And so I think, you know, you have some protection after one, you have some protection after the second one, but really it's that 14 days after that second one that you can start to have a little more celebration and feel really good about where you're at. So many people I know, I don't know anybody who wants one that wasn't able to get one in my area, at least. And I hope that's, you know, the case in more and more places across the country.
Dr. Brennan, The Pfizer, I understand there might be, you know, some sort of a update or a booster that has to come in the future. My question would be, should I be wearing a mask now? I mean, no doubt we met you through a mask manufacturer, but it's a legitimate question. I was in a public space today. I wore a mask in the door, and eventually it was just me and a couple other people. We took our masks off. Everyone said they were vaccinated. Where should we stand on this, sir? Do you think masking?
So if you look at the most recent guidance that the CDC put out in early April, it says that, you know, two people who are fully vaccinated, so you are, you know, 2 weeks after whatever the last dose is, then those two people should be able to safely, you know, take their mask off and be together in a space. And I think that for me, because of what I do, I have still tried to, you know, wear my mask and set a good example, because other people don't look at me and know, has he had his vaccine, has he not? And so I feel like if I continue to wear and set a good example, then I'm doing a good thing for my community. I don't mind wearing it at this point. I think it's just kind of become second nature. When I'm in my house with my family, I obviously don't wear it, but if I go out and about, I wear it just because I want someone else to feel comfortable, and I don't want someone to say, okay, well, that guy's not wearing a mask, so I don't want to go near him. And I think as we get more and more people vaccinated, it'll feel more and more comfortable to be around. But I acknowledge a lot of people still have, you know, either they haven't been able to get their full doses, or maybe they still have a little bit of anxiety. And so I do it more as a courtesy to other people, knowing that I've been fully vaccinated for a few months. I been able to check and see I have antibodies. So I feel, you know, knock on wood, good about myself, but for the sake of others, I feel like it's setting a good example, but there are definitely some instances where, you know, people can start shedding their masks if they're fully vaccinated and they're not around somebody who's, you know, high risk.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dr. Dan Brennan, he's a pediatrician from Santa Barbara, California, a friend of ours, introduced from Eddie, co-founder of Lutema Masks, and that is the topic here, or at least part of the topic. Doctor, I went to a house party recently, first time in some time, and everybody there was vaccinated, except for one guy. And it didn't seem to be too much objected to. It just hasn't got around to it kind of yet. I guess in that kind of situation, who's the most in danger, in your opinion, in a situation like that?
Did you have fun at the house party first?
I sure did. It was so much. I mean, it's been so needed, Dan. You know, I mean, this last year has just been terrible, and we're social creatures. We had an absolute blast.
That's great. I'm so happy to hear those kinds of stories. So I would say that, you know, probably the person who was most at risk there was probably the person who wasn't vaccinated, just because if one of those other people had been one of those rare people who maybe was an asymptomatic carrier still, I think probably that person that was unmasked and unvaccinated probably was the most at risk. Although when you're surrounded by people who are vaccinated, it's a whole lot less likely you're going to be exposed. So I think we're finally at that place where we're talking about, you know, community immunity or population immunity, herd immunity. There's a lot of different terms for the same things, but, you know, we've seen it with, you know, getting rid of things like measles and polio and, you know, to a large extent, chickenpox. And, you know, hopefully we'll be at that place with this dreaded virus soon too, so we can, you know, sort of not have to worry as much about it.
Well, the politics are unfortunate, Dan. If I'm not sure if you saw it, but Jim Jordan went off on Dr. Anthony Fauci recently. And this kind of mentality, specifically coming from conservatives and Republicans, in my observation, is very concerning, if only because if they don't react and they don't get their shots, then, you know, that's a big number of people who don't believe it or are concerned about how quickly the vaccine was produced, that maybe we won't actually get to a community or a herd immunity. Dan, is that any concern of yours at this point?
What I found is that when people talk to people, family members talk to family members, friends talk to friends, and they are able to really get down to that personal level and that comfort level of, okay, well, you know, my doctor got it, my best friend got it, my next door neighbor got it, and they seem to be okay. People share their experiences. I think there becomes, you know, something that's even more important to us than, you know, the way that we, you know, we vote on election day. So my hope is that when it comes down to it, that there's some people who are, you know, maybe on the fence and they're kind of waiting to see how other people do. I think that's, you know, a reasonable approach for some people. And I hope that over time that, you know, they see that other people are doing well. They see that this is really sort of their pathway to be able to get back to where we all want to be. And you're not just doing it for yourself, but you're really doing it for everyone. And I think there's a lot of examples of other vaccines where we've been able to get rates up high enough that something just doesn't spread and then it just kind of goes away. And I think we're even, you know, seeing that across the world and in different locations. Probably find lots of examples in this country too pretty soon. I think we're close to, you know, 50% or more have had at least one dose. And that's really just a remarkable thing. I mean, we're, you know, yeah. It's been a year. It's been a long year, but in terms of science and where, you know, where we've gone with this, it's just a remarkable timeline. Definitely something for the ages and history books.
Dr. Brennan, is it your impression that if you are vaccinated, that effectively you will avoid hospitalization, you will avoid death from the COVID-19, although you could still theoretically be susceptible, and some people have still caught mild cases of COVID-19, even post-vaccination?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that the studies have been clear that, you know, all of the vaccines that have been approved to this point basically will keep you out of the hospital. They should prevent you from dying. And they're, you know, I think in practice, there's still going to be a small number of people who get a, you know, a mild course of it. But certainly as far as, you know, you being able to hopefully take a deep breath and realize, okay, I'm not going to, you know, wind up in the hospital or intubated or, you know, even worse. I think that's a worry we can take off our mind when, once we're, you know, once we're fully vaccinated. And I hope that's a message that resonates. And I hope that's something that, you know, will help people consider, you know, getting their doses.
And Dan, I'm looking forward to being fully vaccinated, but I'm not there yet. Begs, at least I've got at least one more question for you, doctor. Viral load. I keep hearing this term associated with the COVID-19, the coronavirus. Apparently, and tell me if I'm getting this wrong, doctor, but the more exposure you theoretically get to this disease, the greater the likelihood of extreme illness or potentially death. So if I'm in a closed room sitting next to a guy all day long and he has COVID and we're sharing the same air, seemingly I've taken a higher viral load and I have a higher propensity of getting very, very sick because I'm not fully vaccinated yet. So, you know, kind of working our way back to masks, are masks still the only sort of remedy that we can offer until more of the population is fully vaccinated?
I think that the masks continue to play a really huge role, especially, you know, a high quality mask. So something that really fits your face well, it covers both your nose and your mouth. It's something that provides, you know, good filtration. The better the mask, you know, the more effective it's going to be at preventing exposure. And just like you said, to the higher viral loads. So I think that absolutely, yes, that's the case. And especially for our younger folks who may not be able to get a vaccine for some time. Hopefully that's coming soon. But, you know, I think for, you know, for my kids in school today, they, all three of them are in their Lutema masks because that's the only thing I feel comfortable with them wearing because it, you know, there's a smaller one that fits my fifth grader's face and there's the other ones that fit my older kids' faces. And, you know, eventually they'll get their vaccine, but until that time, I want them to have, you know, really kind of the best protection they can have and something very close to what I wear at work. And for the record, I still wear, you know, a very high quality mask at work and I've been fully vaccinated. I want my patients to feel safe. I want to feel safe. And so, yeah, I think you're 100% right that the masks are one of our best tools at being able to minimize exposure and really to those high viral loads. So I think you hit the nail on the head there.
Well, Dan, I don't want to drag my family into it, but my mother-in-law plans on taking my two teenage boys to Florida towards the end of next month. And I've got a little bit of leeriness. One of them's been vaccinated in the course of vaccination. The other's younger than 16. And we're going to mask him up, and I might put him in hazmat suits. But how comfortable, if people are vaccinated, or at least if they're masked up well, can people comfortably travel, do you think now, Dan?
So I think, you know, if you're going by plane, I would say, you know, definitely try and find something similar to that Lutema travel mask that really fits well, that's light, that's comfortable, comes in fun colors. And that's what I'm planning on doing if, you know, if we wind up going on a trip before my younger kids are able to get fully vaccinated too, because I think that the airplanes have shown not to be as concerning as we probably thought initially. And that's super exciting. So I think if you've got, you know, a really good mask, you've got your hand sanitizer, then it's really more about what do you do on the other end and where are you going and, you know, what are your exposures there? But, you know, I think it can be done safely. I think people have been doing it safely. And I think if you find, you know, the right personal protective equipment to go with it, I think you can have a good time and feel safe about it.
Well, Dan, like you, I recommend Lutema Mask, Lutema. They're one of our fine sponsors. Thank you so much, Dr. Dan Brennan, pediatrician from Santa Barbara, California. Been a fine resource, Dan. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Yeah, look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.
Were you wearing a mask?
Were you burning acid or something like that?
Oh, no, it's just they're terribly comfortable. I think everyone will be wearing them in the future.